It started with Save the Whales. Then there were concerns over declining cod stocks. And in more recent years, scientists have realized the coral reefs are dying off too. Well, now we can add sharks to the list of marine life that's disappearing from the world's oceans. These often maligned denizens of the deep are a popular target for sport fishers and an accidental target for those who harvest tuna and swordfish. And in the northern Atlantic, shark numbers are dropping dramatically. That's the finding of a paper published in this week's issue of Science magazine. Julia Baum is the researcher who uncovered the decline. She's a graduate student in the Department of Biology at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Ms. Baum, welcome to Quirks.
Thank you.
First of all, what gave you the first clue that the shark populations off the coast of North America might be declining?
We suspected it for several reasons, and we're not the only ones. First of all, because of their life histories. Sharks are so different from bony fishes. They have slow growth, they mature late, they have internal fertilization. They gestate their young for a year or more, and then they give birth to very few young. So for many shark species, their life history strategy is much more similar to whales than it is to bony fishes. Secondly, in other areas where there have been shark fisheries in the past, they are very much characterized by this period of intense rushing into the fishery. The catches increase for a few years, and then bang, they collapse very rapidly within a few years. And they take decades to recover, if they recover at all. And that's a pattern that's been repeated over and over in shark fisheries around the world. Finally, there's been a real resurgence in shark-targeted fisheries in the past 20 years globally, and that's coupled with this heavy pressure from pelagic longline fisheries where they're caught incidentally.
So how did you go about trying to figure out exactly what was happening to them?
What we had to do was rely on fisheries data. It's incredibly hard to count how many sharks there are in the ocean, as it is with many fish species. And we turned to the pelagic longline fishery data.
Now, just before we go further there, just for people who don't live near the ocean, what is pelagic longline fishing?
Pelagic longline fisheries are fisheries that target high-value, large marine predators like tuna and swordfish. And because they're designed to capture large marine predators, they're also capturing a lot of sharks.
Oh, so they're not looking for sharks, but the sharks take the bait.
That's right.
So you say you had to gather the data. How is the data accumulated in the first place?
The data is accumulated by the fisheries department. So in Canada, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and in the U.S., the National Marine Fisheries Service, NIMFS. They keep track of the data. There are observer data sets and logbook data sets.
So the fishermen are keeping track of the fish that they catch and writing it in logbooks. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, so after you got all this data together, how serious is the shark problem in the North Atlantic?
It's very serious. What we have now is very strong quantitative evidence showing large declines in all the large coastal species that we looked at and all the oceanic species as well.
So what kind of numbers did you come up with?
We're looking at declines for almost every species of over 50% in the last 8 to 15 years. And for some species, we're looking at declines greater than 75%. For hammerhead sharks, for instance, we're estimating a decline of almost 90% in the last 15 years in the Northwest Atlantic.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes, indeed. It's phenomenal. They're declining so hugely, so rapidly.
So what impact is this having on the whole ecosystem of the North Atlantic?
That's a really difficult question to answer. One of the problems is that there's so much about shark biology that we don't know yet, that the ecosystem role of these species is not well pinned down. What I can tell you is that for other aquatic systems that we know much better, for instance, for lakes where we can do experiments, what we know is that high-end predators have very disproportionate impacts on their ecosystems. And that's what sharks are, these high-end predators. If you think of an ecosystem as this intricate machine with many interconnected parts, losing a big component of the machine, even if we don't really understand how the machine works, is cause for concern.
Well, what happens when you take a top predator like a shark out of the system?
Well, if we took just one shark species out of the system, I might not be so concerned because there's a chance that other species could compensate. What really strikes me here is that we're not just hitting one of the species hard. all of the sharks are declining. And what we know from previous studies is that all of the other large marine predators are declining as well. The swordfish is very overfished. Most of the tuna species are very overfished. So what we're looking at are these dramatic declines in all large marine predators. And there have to be ecological consequences of removing those animals from the system.
What are the chances of the shark populations recovering?
For shark populations to recover, it takes a long time, simply because of their life history. They're not designed to be able to bounce back very easily from this type of overfishing. So what we see in other fisheries is that it takes decades to recover. That's if we do something about it now. The risk, you know, that we're looking at now, if we don't do something, I think we're facing a very real risk of extirpation of many of these species in the Northwest Atlantic.
Extirpation, that's different from extinction.
Yeah, it perhaps doesn't sound as bad as extinction. And the reason we're not at risk of extinction right now is because a lot of these species range throughout the world's oceans. So they're found in other oceans in the world.
So what could be done to prevent that from happening?
Fishing effort needs to be limited, and that's the bottom line. We looked in the study at the effect of placing marine reserves, and what we found very clearly is that marine reserves can play a role, but if fishing effort stays the same, or if you close an area and the effort that used to happen in that area is simply displaced to other areas, you can actually do more harm than good if you're then fishing harder in other areas. So unless fishing effort is reduced in concert with marine reserves, the marine reserves themselves aren't going to solve the problem.
How long do you think the sharks have if we don't do anything?
Difficult to say, but what we're seeing now, the study that we're looking at now, is trying to look back over the past 50 years. We're trying to figure out what the abundance of these animals was before these commercial longline fisheries came into play in this area. So we're looking back to the early 1950s. And at that time, the precursor to NIMFS, the National Marine Fisheries Service in the U.S., was sending out surveys basically to find out where they could start longline fisheries. And we have information from that that suggests that these animals today are at about one-tenth of the level they were 50 years ago. So what we're seeing are these huge declines, and they've been happening for a long time. They're still happening. Probably at the beginning of the time series for this study 15 years ago, we were already looking at remnant populations. Then what we're seeing in them is huge declines, as much as 90%. So, you know, we're really reducing these populations substantially. How much longer they have, I can't say for sure, but declines this large and this fast, it's not long.
Well, do you think it's beyond a point of no return?
I wouldn't ever want to give up hope like that. You know, I think we have the power to do something. This isn't some mysterious thing that's happening that we have no idea what the cause is. We know exactly what the cause is. It's fishing. So we need to limit the fishing, and we need to limit it substantially. It's not a mystery. It's just, you know, making it happen.
Ms. Baum, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Julia Baum is a graduate student in the biology department at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Her research was published in this week's edition of Science Magazine.